Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am joined with our regular cast, Randy and Nick. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. We are, at time of release, we are less than 24 hours away from keynote.
Very, very close.
Speak for yourself, so Randy. You said we are fantastic. I am sitting on pins and needles waiting for Tim Cook to walk out on stage tomorrow morning and say,
Good morning!
It's going to be a good morning, I think. There's going to be quite a lot, I think, to talk about, potentially.
I am so excited about the keynote because, first, I'm going to take a little bit of Drew's thunder because this is definitely more your style.
Go ahead.
I've learned not to get excited and have expectations low. And with the one more thing, what could you be? AR glasses. Are you announcing Apple Car software? Are you announcing air powers back? Which would be weird because the one more thing, you bring up a very great point. They don't use it for everything. They didn't use it for AirPods. They don't use it for accessories. So something a new. It has to be the wearable. It has to. It has to.
That makes the most amount of sense,
okay,
but at the
Randy,
same time...
you can take your tinfoil hat off now.
What do you think it is, Nick? What's the one more thing? This podcast is going to age so well.
It's going to be the tile. Oh, very well. I mean, 24 hours. Y'all better listen to this one pretty quick. It's going to be the tile. I'm telling you.
It's an accessory, man. It won't do it.
It's never been an accessory.
It's never been an accessory. Apple TV.
I don't want to get excited. Don't let me get excited, Randy.
Apple TV. Okay. Apple Watch. Apple Wear or Apple Glass. Apple. It's a new line. It has to be a new line. The iPhone X was our anniversary edition. So and so. Blah blah blah. That was our one more thing. And
iPhone upgrade in a long
right.
time.
We followed it so closely. We knew about the leak, so it wasn't a one more thing for us. But those keynotes as marketing events for the 90% of everybody else, that was the first time it was confirmed. They might have read rumors at most, but when they're not like us who's in the weeds of it, for those guys, that one more thing was significant. And I can understand why they made it a one more thing for marketing purposes. Why would they not do it? It's hardware related. It has to be hardware related.
I don't think it could be
Tile
a services
is a hardware.
Thing. It's an accessory,
so
Nick.
It is an
but
accessory.
I don't know. It's way too simple of a product to be a one more thing.
I really hope that both of you are right about the AR glasses.
Me too.
But I do not want to be wrong.
So, I'm sorry.
I don't want to go to the event expecting the AR glasses and then just have the tile.
I can't destroy it. I can't.
The tile will
anymore.
Be there. We'll get the tile. That's going to happen. But my issue is lowering expectations once the dots in my brain have been connected. Once the whole explanation of why in 2019 would Apple say one more thing when all they've done is add an extra lens to all the iPhones and the Apple Watch is coming in ceramic and there may be some new AirPods. Nothing else makes sense. Any other... But that's why I'm so... at a crossroads here
but
is because
it doesn't make sense.
It also doesn't make sense that AR glasses would be ready now because we've seen the competition. The tech isn't here yet. We haven't
sir. This is why they're doing it because they want to get ahead of the inevitable leaks when they start going into manufacturing, like they did with the Apple Watch. They announced it before it was ready.
You're just spitting all my same words back at me. I remember saying all that.
because I can't have low expectations. It's the follow the trail, and they need to get ahead of it. They announced iPhone or every new hardware. Was always announced early, and sometimes to their detriment, like AirPower. They announced it because they thought they were going to get ahead of it in front of when it started going into development. It didn't happen. So it's a hit and miss. But accessories, I would buy Tile. Not the product. I would buy it being Tile if they would have one more thinged the AirPods. Because that would have been the... Or AirPower.
Sure.
If they one more thinged that, knowing that we still had to wait months before, I would have been like, okay, new accessories. But... right now, it makes the most sense because we're getting triple lens, and we know... Here's one thing I'm excited about, too. We don't know what the software part all of it's going to have to do with the third lens. We know about, okay, here's what you can do with video and reframing. Cool.
Right,
but
right.
We don't know anything about AR because they're able to keep that under wraps. It might not be the most exciting one more thing for us in a sense, like, here's what you can do with the glasses or whatever the wear. What if it's not glasses? I'm excited because we didn't know anything about Apple Watch. And it just, we didn't know what it looked like. We didn't know anything.
There was some. Well, it wasn't completely blind. But
we knew it would be a watch, but well, other than that.
And we know, like, there's a wearable in the
no, there was no manufacturing leaks. I can firmly remember that. I remember the literal day in high school when they unveiled it. And I was following leaks. I was making tech videos at the time, but no one was watching them. And leading up to the Apple Watch launch, there was concepts. There was, like, renders of what it could look like, but there was
Fitbit
no patent.
Competitor.
No one ever did a digital crown. No one ever did a square. Most of them either looked like a really thin band with a really long display, or either they were round and they had, like, a condensed version of iOS 7 on a round screen. There were so many different renders and concepts, but there was not a single, like, iPhone style, here's the design, here's what they're moving forward with. And even Mac Rumors, who was, like, covering the event before it happened, I remember the article saying, like, here's what we're definitely seeing, here's what's maybe. And they were like, maybe a wearable. We're not sure.
Yeah.
It was not, like, a definite confirmed thing. And I can only look at the past and say there's so many things that are similar to this event that would be similar to that launch.
Exactly. Because we don't know what the wearable looks like. We just have ideas. And and much like the watch, I think we'll get blown away by it, by the sense that we don't have any expectations to compare it to off of preconceived notions of leakage. We don't have any. We don't have anything to go off of. So it's all going to be exciting. Now, I will be let down if we're wrong, like if it's not even the wearable, but if this goes for June, Nick, because I know you're being a bit skeptical here. We need to wear the 5-year
hardest, folks.
Hang on, 5-year hat. Put your 5-year plan hat on. I don't think the first generation of whatever this is going to be is going to be like the best of the best. Series 0 was not the best of the best. iPad, first gen, not the best of the best. Apple TV, it took a couple iterations before it got the best of the best. We need to go into this that whatever they're going to announce, we have to think of what it's going to be like 3 to 5 years from now. Because whatever the first gen is, it's going to be expensive, and we're going to be all beta testers for it. It's not going to be, you know, the final product. So I feel whatever we see, we have to think of the vision of it long term, what it's going to do. And I'm only saying that because when Marquez was bringing up, like, what can you do with the glasses, I was thinking about that. I don't know right
I can
now,
think of tons
but that's
of
because
stuff.
I'm not. The tile, you put on the glasses, there's all my stuff. Okay, I could think of immediacy stuff. I don't know what the glasses can do for me while I'm driving in the car in a way that's not breaking laws, if you know what I mean. So,
that's probably a big legal battle.
And that's where I'm limited.
So, Randy, you asked me to put on my 5-year forward hat, which I did. I'm going to ask you to put your 5 years behind hat on. And
he reversed this hat.
We're going to talk about the... I literally put a hat on.
He did, and he reversed it.
The Apple Watch. If you think of the market when Apple announced the Apple Watch, it was already, like, established. There was plenty of people with Pebbles, the Samsung Gears, the Fitbits. Like, it wasn't a entirely new category. Apple was never first, ever. I can't think of a single time they were first to an entirely new product category.
Right.
Like smartphones, even. Like the iPhone.
Apple there were smartphones before
the
iPhone.
They reinvent everything, but they're never the first to a category. And the fact that there's nothing out there on the market like Apple Glass right now, sure that there are some, you know, HoloLens or Oculus or whatever, like full VR headsets, which you have to, like, plug into a gaming computer.
There, like, are some AR glasses. I'll stop you a little bit there. I agreed to you that the smartwatch market was much more present before the Apple Watch came out. It wasn't big. There weren't a lot of them, and most people didn't wear them. But there were some that were pretty noticeable, and not to the same extent with AR glasses, but there are some that are available now. Like, there's a pair. I'm trying to remember the name of them. They're $600, and they beam your phone notifications and activity tracking and stuff over your vision. They don't do any motion tracking.
Is that the one you have to go and get fitted for?
Like, you have
to go
may?
To one of their stores, like, three times, and, like...
I'm not sure if that's
do, like,
the
3D
one.
Scans or something. Yeah.
But HoloLens is the probably more of the feature set Apple would be aiming for with their glasses, yeah, because they'd want it to be able to track onto reality, not just mm-hmm. project over a simple layer. But knowing Apple yeah. would definitely not price the glasses at a $600, I feel like you could take the tech implemented from those $600 AR glasses and say, okay, what if the budget is $2,000 to $3,000? And it doesn't have to run all of the augmented projections locally. That's the difference with HoloLens. That's an independent product. It's not tethered to anything. It's not running off of something else. All of the hard drive and all of the data has to be computed right there. What previous leakers have detailed about AR glasses in the past is that it would be primarily an iPhone accessory, where the iPhone is doing a lot of the work and helping, and the glasses are just kind of playing the display part. But the iPhone itself is the one rendering a lot of things or doing a lot of the GPU processing or giving the glasses navigational support and stuff. So it would definitely be similar to the Apple Watch in that it's not an independent product at launch, at least, maybe down the road someday. But it starts out very much tethered to the phone. And I'm trying to, like, in my head imagine what do the glasses hardware need to have in order to do what Apple would probably want them to do. And that's, like, the projector screens on the stem so that they can hit the glass and beam into your eyes and you can see the holograms themselves. And you want those to be fairly detailed, and you want it to run at a pretty good frame rate. But simultaneously, you need camera sensors on the outside of the glasses that are able to look at the surroundings and map the holograms to the groundwork, which from the HoloLens we've seen the tech is somewhat there. It's just not fashionable, it's not clean, it's mm-hmm. not good looking. So when I hear that production could be starting at the end of this year or maybe beginning of next year, I feel like we're getting there, you know, we're close. I don't know for sure if it's gonna be ready at this event. I'm still skeptical, like you, Nick, because there's not that much competition already. But at the same time, I'm like, even if it's not this event, I feel like we're getting close. I feel like we're getting near and closer to the point that we're ready for a first-generation product, unlike foldable technology.
What if we're looking at it wrong in the sense that, like, you know how you have Oculus Rift and you have
VR,
HTC, yeah, and all that stuff, and they have headsets for VR, mm-hmm. and the headset for AR is to coincide with, for now, and this is where I'm saying, like, the first generation of a product is, like, it's very limited in the sense of whether it's, like, gaming or something that's just homebound. What if it's meant to be incorporated into maybe subscription-based usage the same way you would pay for games and everything like that? It's their hybrid of making that game console, the same thing that Apple TV was kind of dabbling with, mobile games, and mm-hmm. the headset that they're going to announce, the AR, or whatever you want to call it. It's their one step closer to being an overall, it'll start off gaming. Like, it'll start small, and let's perfect one category within this, and then branch out and make it more usable for other activities. And right now, maybe it's only good for home usage, and whether it's, like, battery related or because you have to be within certain range, and maybe it has to be Wi-Fi enabled. Like, I'm trying to think, like, this, the whole thing as a whole, if I'm trying to follow Apple's trail, they've been pushing services as their main drive this year. Simultaneously, we know we got great hardware coming that will ultimately go in their vision of AR is the future, not VR. And mm-hmm. when you cross those two, and you can make it's like you can use these things on a subscription, a service of sorts. The only today or next year realistic thing I could see be used for is games or like just a home improvement stuff that's just local based to your hub, your central home for it. And then the next iteration is you can it can be LTE enabled, and then outside of that you can go further. But right now, like Series Zero, we had the side button where you had like a circle of people that you can tap and share heartbeats.
They're
playing with it. They're trying to see, okay, here's what the technology can do. Now how can we make it work? That's what they'll do with the AR headset, whatever that may be.
I don't think it'll be homebound. I think it would be iPhone bound. I can't imagine a situation where the glasses would require a Wi-Fi connection, but I could see them definitely requiring the iPhone to be close enough, because my interpretation of like what probably hurts the battery life on those types of glasses the most is like the motion tracking and the projectors on the inside. So you don't have a much battery usage left for processing, for CPU performance or GPU performance. So letting the iPhone do all that work, and basically what you have is a race of how good of data transfer can we get between two devices that are pretty close together. So using Bluetooth 5 or maybe something, maybe H1 chip type technology. Maybe the H doesn't stand for headphone, it stands for headwear or something like that.
Boom!
You blew my mind!
I don't know. I'm just like, Apple's really good at making power-efficient silicon. So if the glasses just literally only, the only thing they had to worry about was displaying the content. They didn't have to worry about rendering the content or processing it. The iPhone did all that, and it was just considered basically an incredibly expensive, complicated external monitor. That's really what it is. Yeah. It's like the most intricate external screen you've ever had.
And an extra $1,000 just for the frames, just like the stand.
Oh.
Yeah, you can buy it without frames if you want.
Yeah,
just
but the frames will cost you another $1,000.
Why stop at $1,000?
I better announce the pricing now so that I can start saving.
The Apple Watch unveiling, they did announce the starting price, but that's all they gave. They didn't give like the detailed pricing.
The
right. Starting at $350, they didn't say you can configure one up to
$17,000.
Oh yeah, I remember that event. I was watching it recently, and the demos of it, it was funny how inaccurate the bezels to screen were. Like, you could tell how little of the watch was actually ready at the time of the unveiling, how much behind the scenes just trickery they were straight up using for the event, because they were showcasing all of the screen animations and stuff. And I've looked at the Series 0 to 3 design for a long, long time, and I was like, that's not what it looks like. Like, that's not it. That's not accurate. They thought the bezels were going to be way thinner than they actually were at the time, so they were just kind of guessing. But I imagine the demos, at least, or the showcasing, if AR glasses are coming, will probably be fairly inaccurate to whatever the actual performance is like. But yeah, I imagine like any Series Zero product, it being extremely limited. Like, maybe it can only project 2 to 3 holograms simultaneously. After that, it has to drop one, or maybe it can't render at 60, a 60 hertz refresh rate. I could see that being really complicated, so maybe they can only get it to 30. Battery life is always a huge challenge with any new product, so I imagine that will probably be a big one. Like, you're going to have to charge this thing at least once a day. Maybe more, if it's that bad. So, yeah, I could see a bunch of limitations, but just the potential of AR is so much more exciting to me than foldables, honestly. Like, I'm sure so many people are going to look at what I'm saying about AR glasses and say, well, Drew, foldables are expensive and their tech isn't ready. I'm like, but what's the end result? Like, I still can't see what the end result is with foldables that's going to be so dang convenient. If we want big screens in small form factors, we shrink bezels, and foldables, you have to do the complete opposite of that in order to.
Or you buy an iPhone 10 instead of the 10S Max.
Oh, right, exactly. It's not, that's the big difference. Thank you, Randy. That's the big difference. There's not some cheaper alternative from AR glasses that can provide you with basically the same experience for cheaper. Yeah. AR glasses are providing an experience you cannot replicate. Like, you just can't. That's something, that's a completely different dimension. That's a different realm of delivering data and notifications to the user. Like, that's totally separate than just screen bigger. The screen's bigger. Yay.
Well, you know how well that sold with the 6 Plus.
Well, it did, actually.
How did we get on this AR glasses topic?
Because we started off the show by saying
This tweet from a guy who's made 14 tweets in his entire history has
and
no
his
profile
accuracy.
Picture.
14
and
tweets.
He just tweeted a quote from Steve Jobs. That's all. And
though,
we're talking about this for 20 years.
He's never tweeted something for no reason. He's never done a fluff tweet.
Of being perfect.
I've never tweeted anything for no reason. And
tweets
are perfect. So
but you didn't identically announce the iPhone naming scheme over 2 weeks before the event took place. Or gave us the exact thing because
I
follow you on Twitter.
No one was paying attention to this guy when that happened.
Nobody cared to know who I was to put on the mask.
No one cared who I was till I tweeted the names.
Of course.
Of course.
He said, no headphone jack, 5.9. He knew the weight of the 10S Max to the exact gram.
Yeah.
This guy is someone.
14 lucky guesses.
And
so,
Sweeney.
If these are 14 lucky guesses,
you
then he's
stop
most
drinking
likely
that tap water.
He is it's most likely correctly guessing that there will be a one more thing. But if there is no one more thing at this event, it's going to permanently damage this guy's credibility
for forever.
He
didn't specifically say that. That's okay. He can just create a new CoinX One, or even I have an even better username for him. Totally not Tim Cook 1-2-3.
I'm taking that handle. Hang on a second.
Totally not Tim Cook.
This CoinX guy is very strategic, and
I could also see why he wouldn't want to just tweet that there would be AR glasses coming. That's the other part of my brain that's clicked. If this guy is willing to interact with the tech community and tweet out things early, then he knows things before they happen, well in advance, and he knows how excited probably people would be for an announcement like that. And maybe there's a part of him that just says, I don't want to ruin that, you know? I don't want...
Yeah. Are you assuming his gender?
Yes. No, look at the replies. It's
what
a guy.
What if it's Angela Ayres? She's out of Apple, and she's salty, and she's upset.
I'm just telling you. Look at the tweets. It's obvious to me. But still, regardless, I think he could easily say, you know, that's something I think should be unveiled on stage. I don't want to just go tweet out, there's new AR glasses coming. Which would have somewhat ruined the surprise, but simultaneously would have been insanely cool. Can you imagine if the guy with a perfect track record just tweeted out, AR glasses are coming? The internet would just blow their minds. It would have been just
Twitter
insanity.
Take down his account right now.
Everyone, by the way, I'm actually Tim Cook.
Say psych right now. You know, everyone just flips out.
You better... Right. Where? Wait. CoinX. Hang on. I thought I was following this guy. So now I'm looking for your
tweet.
Who
has like 8,000 followers? Like, what on earth?
He has 11,000.
Okay, Drew, you have more Twitter followers than this guy.
I have more Twitter followers than a lot of people. That are important.
You should just tweet out some other random Steve Jobs quote, and
I don't have a great track record. I don't have a solid track record. CoinX does. He's one for one.
All of your tweets are perfect.
No,
and none of them were useless.
No,
that's my two cents.
We should try to stop talking about the glasses because it's not going to happen, and then this podcast is going to age horribly. I think we're going to see the services announced, though. The rest of them. Both of them.
The surfaces?
Services.
services. Oh, I thought you were talking about a Microsoft Surface. No. Like, what?
No, I didn't ever talk about that.
I guess I missed that CoinEx tweet.
I don't think he would do that.
I think we are going to not get a full-fledged... I don't think they're going to talk about Apple Watch. I think they're just going to announce the ceramic and titanium, maybe in website update.
There's a part of me that believes you.
I don't think they're going to talk about it. I think they're going to be so fixated on the new phones and one more thing. And
stop it.
I just feel like they're not going. I think they're just not going to talk about Apple Watch. Like, Apple Watch is selling amazing. It has taken 95%. Of the market share. And for iPads, up now. All right, let's talk about iPhones. And then, you know, Craig will come out and do things. But I don't think we'll really get much coverage on Apple Watch. Unless
it'll be short.
Want to talk. We get, what, 2 hours? That's roughly the time frame of these keynotes now? 2 hours?
Right.
Okay, yes. Services. They will talk about services. They'll talk about iPhone. They'll talk about... I think they'll talk about iPad.
I'm still hoping we have time for some new AirPods. A lot of people don't bring that up.
I'm hoping for those over the ear headphones.
Yes, over ear headphones.
Those, please. Oh,
yes.
I would love it if they launched them, but the rumors for them have gone so quiet. I don't believe they're happening. But I still think AirPods, aside from that one little website refresh we got back in March, which was very small. It was like wireless charging, H1 chip. Okay, you know. Other than that, they haven't changed in sound performance and in look since 2016. It's been 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think they're well overdue for something with them. It doesn't have to be a complete start over redesign, but like the Apple Pencil 2 matte finish is really cool. I think it would be dope if they brought that to the AirPods themselves. If they had sort of the flat edge on one side that you could adjust the volume with. If they added some active noise cancellation, I think they could really catch up with all the AirPod competitors they've had. Like, there's totally room for improvement in that department that I'm more interested in new AirPods than new Apple Watch. In fact, I am not sure if I'm getting the Series 5. I might, depending on if they do something interesting with it, but I also think there's a chance that they're doing what Randy suggests, which is just, Series 4 is amazing, so we thought we'd celebrate with ceramic. Okay, now for the iPhone. You know, I could totally see that happening. That sounds like something that would happen, because the only rumors I've heard people say are such niche, small things, like sleep tracking. And I'm like, sleep tracking's been a thing for long before the Apple Watch was around. You could do it on your iPhone, and now people are excited just because it's first party. I don't understand what you do with sleep tracking information either. It sounds useless to me. I don't get the appeal to it.
I got it. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because it's applicable to me. I have sleep apnea, and because of it, I don't sleep well throughout night. So I stop breathing, and when they track me before... the VA put a machine on me and they wanted to monitor my sleep patterns, and when I stopped breathing, my heart, you know, obviously starts racing because it's panicking, and then it'll do that. You can get that same information off of the watch, I believe. They're not going to track, you know, airflow from the nostrils, because I had tubes, like little tiny tubes plugged into my nose.
See, anybody would have sleep problems with the tubes up their nose.
Nah, it's not up your nose. It just rests right there, so it can monitor airflow that goes through. But if you breathe through your mouth, then it's not even happening that way. But anyway, so sleep apnea is a thing. You could track how many times you actually move throughout the night, and if that can indicate restlessness and you're not sleeping well. I can see it. It's good data, but for me personally, like for us as a user or the end user for it, we can't really do much about it unless those same recommendations. Ooh, try meditating or stretching.
Go
or
see a doctor.
Relaxing. Yeah,
I mean that's the issue with it.
For your doctor.
Yeah, like the issue with the sleep tracking as a selling point is, I can tell you if I'm not sleeping well. That's not something I need to watch. You know, I can wake up and be like, well, I didn't sleep well last night. Whereas I can't really tell you if I'm having irregular heartbeats. And the electrocardiogram in the Series 4 was something never shipped over the counter before. Like, no one could ever buy that. You had to go to a hospital to get it, and it would tell you something that you may not know. If you're having heart problems, that's hard to catch. The sleep thing, it's like the people who have sleep issues, I think, know, and they know that there's very easy things to do.
We don't need a watch to tell us. I would definitely disagree with that.
Oh, please tell me, Nick.
I think that people understand that they have sleep problems, but they probably don't have a way to quantify it. My mom also has sleep apnea, and she did that study thing. And they found that she didn't breathe for like 2 minutes a couple times during the night. And like she knew that she had problems sleeping.
So she has severe sleep apnea.
She didn't know how bad it was. Yeah, now she has this mask thing. And she, you know, I don't know, just to wash it out and stuff, fill it with water. I don't know what it does. But anyway, like forces air or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's a good way to quantify it. Just like with the Apple Watch, I knew that I wasn't exercising enough before I got my Apple Watch. Then
and now he knows he's still not exercising enough.
I'm still not exercising.
No, no, no. I see what you're saying.
There's this little ring that tells me that I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the watch isn't doing that breath monitoring thing. They can't.
Yeah, it could. If they stick a blood oxygen monitor inside the watch and... You know,
that sounds complicated.
Apple's smart enough. They could figure it out. Well, I bet Apple could figure it out. They figured out an ECG on your wrist.
For and this is not even for us, more say, unless you're diabetic, but like older people, maybe they wanted like a blood tester to test their
glucose
and all that. Yeah. I got friends. Oh, actually, I take that back. I got friends who are like, they do like the keto diet, which is, you know, no carbs and all stuff. And they can only know when they're in ketosis when they do a blood sample to see where they're at. But I don't want blood on my watch, you know, like,
yeah, that's not something they would, I think, just ship with every single watch because it's such a specific to an individual user. I mean, like if they figured out smart bands or something and you could buy a watch band for that specific reason, then it would make way more sense. But
100% I think disagree, it's, Drew. 100%. Could not disagree with you more.
Before you start telling him, I just want
to... Try to sell me on why I need a glucose monitor.
I want to appreciate the fact that the last two episodes, since we've been back, all Nick has done is, I disagree with you. The Apple Card sucks. I disagree with you. Sleep apnea is a thing. I disagree with you.
I don't disagree that sleep apnea is a thing. I'm just saying the Series 5 is not going to help with that. It's just going to tell you your heart rate
went up.
Nick
is out for blood, man.
Okay. I'm out for blood. I'm just so eager about the event tomorrow. I cannot wait.
You need to lower your
event,
expectations,
so.
Nick. That's what.
Well, I did that last year, and then that didn't work out. So I'm trying the other way. So you said that you don't want glucose monitoring on your watch.
Not every watch,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, not every watch. Yes. So you think it should be an option, but it shouldn't be on every watch.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. What if Apple did that with the ECG? What if Apple did that with the heart rate reader?
But these are things that apply to more situations, though. You don't know if your heart is irregular.
So the point of the Apple Watch is to collect data, aggregate that on the health app on the iPhone, so you have a better view into your health. I think the ECG is a much larger data point.
Yes.
But I think blood glucose levels, I'd love to know my blood glucose levels throughout the day. I honestly don't even know what a healthy blood glucose level is. I don't know what that number is. I know I've had it tested, you know, during physicals or whatever, but like I don't know what I am on a normal basis. I know if you have a pie, you probably have a little higher.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't apply to as many people as the ECG can, which means that the price of the watch goes up and the complication of developing
it. Apple's going to figure out a way to do this mostly through software. If you look how they did the ECG,
glucose is not that easy.
All they did with the ECG was add two pieces of electroresistive material on the back of the watch and on the crown, and then everything was just done software.
I understand that, but you can measure electromagnetic pulses, electrocardiographs from the heart. You can't measure glucose levels without getting into the body. So if you wanted...
Yeah, you can.
Well, it's not
There's
been,
optical glucose readers out there.
It's not that
they
simple.
They shine like lasers.
Well, it's not as simple as it's just lasers. I've seen the patents been in development since before the Series 3.
You're talking about Apple, the simplest credit card company.
I'm talking about Apple, who needs things to be FDA approved before they ship them. And I don't think it's as easy as you're making it out to be.
Apple has the FDA Fast Track or whatever.
FDA like, Fast Track.
It's like at the Disney.
It's like
the,
a TSA.
You get the Fast Pass.
FDA pre-check. I don't know. I don't think that'll be in the Series 5. I think we would have heard about it, and I think it would have showed up in watchOS 6 code before we saw that.
I would agree with you saying that it might not happen, but I want it to happen.
Okay, I just
a big waste.
I just think it shouldn't be a standard in all of them.
I think it should be standard in all of them. I would buy if I was given an option between saving $50 on an Apple Watch or spending an extra $50 and getting glucose monitoring, I would totally spend the extra $50. I want all of the information.
Well, if you're I think if you're a non-diabetic or you're someone who doesn't need to monitor the glucose, that's such an unnecessary amount of hardware they would have to put in for something that you would check like once. If you're
20-something and you don't need to have an ECG every morning.
That's not true.
It's kind of unnecessary.
You can have heart problems at young ages. It's possible.
Sure. But you can also have diabetes at young ages.
So Project Titan, do you guys think that's dead?
I know you can have it, but I'm saying you're usually diagnosed beforehand. I don't think you should get a watch to figure out if you're a diabetic or not.
My best friend, when I was 7 years old, had type 1 diabetes. Like, he had to prick his finger before he could eat. And like,
yeah, I have friends that are diabetics, too. What's your point, though?
My point is that a lot of people would use this, regardless of age.
How did they figure
Johnny
out he was...
Johnny Ive leaving the company, man. That's weird, right?
Randy is insistent on moving on. Okay.
They're giving me the light.
Circles around this for a long time, so.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. I think...
As much as I enjoy this, watching you guys do this elegant dance...
Watching.
I feel like this song is... I see what you did there. I just feel like this will be I don't want that to eat up the rest of our time. So, yeah.
Series 5.
What do you have to talk about?
Final closing.
What is so important, Randy?
On that subject, though. Final closing statement is that every single Apple Watch upgrade has had some substantial big change. And I have no idea what it would be for the Series 5, if there is a Series 5. Like,
wrong.
What?
I didn't hear you.
Oh, you went, wrong, garbage.
Oh, wrong.
we're debating, and we're out of time, so I just got my little wrong.
I got to disprove everything you
just said.
Okay, since Let's you guys, now it's my turn just to say this, and it has nothing to do with whatever you guys were talking about. I think the next big thing that they would push, and I don't necessarily agree with it anymore, I could see if they're like, FaceTime or something that you can make legit... Call. Actually, this goes back to what I said last week, I think. The only way I would upgrade my watch is if it has something to do with camera. Even if it makes the video experience better on the next iPhone. If it has to, for me, sell me on utilizing Apple's camera. If not, if you put some tiny in-display what have yous in there. Like I used to be like, oh yeah, I want a FaceTime camera. I don't think I want that anymore because it's not... It's not. How many times do you guys make calls off of your watch exclusively, like the cellular?
I've done it enough to make it helpful, but I'd rather
right.
use my phone.
I mean, and I feel like that's how the FaceTime camera would be. We'll find reasons to do it, and that's like we won't do a podcast off of it. You know what I mean? It's like, so I don't think I want that anymore. But I feel like people are a bit not knowing they don't want that yet, so they'll kind of still push for it. But I feel like that would be something they would introduce because they keep doing health things, and I think that's what they're trying to market. Like, hey, health, 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 and integration to the ecosystem. But they're really pushing health, and they're doing all the great things. I just hope they don't do a camera. Maybe unless Series 5, my belief, if it doesn't happen this year. Complete redesign, like a complete honest to God redesign. And I hope that's not the case either, because I like how the watch kind of looks like a mini iPhone 10. Like the, I'm a fan of that. So anyway, that's my two cents.
Okay,
let's talk about, actually I said it jokingly, but now I'm thinking about it. Project Titan, what do you guys think?
not
that. That could be the other one more thing.
No, well, I don't software, think so. Right? Maybe software.
Mm. Yeah, it's just a software, no hardware. Just like, hey, by the way, we've
services. You know, we third party to
CarPlay BMW, plus Tesla.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see it. I think Titan is something they're toying around with behind closed doors, but it's not. I mean, Project Titan is more self-driving and hardware of the car itself design. At least that's what the patents they've been passing, a lot of them are, like redesigning brakes and redesigning car doors and redesigning the actual hardware parts of the car, which I imagine are nowhere near ready. I remember even when Project Titan was trending and people were talking about it, it was something coming in like 2022, 2023. So it could be something that never even sees the light of day, but I don't know. I think they would be better off partnering.
Yeah, I feel, honestly, if they market CarPlay Plus to like third parties and maybe we have to pay for it, I would pay for CarPlay for my Tesla.
How much would you pay?
I would pay, if it's monthly, I can probably pay, no more than $10. I'm thinking $8 okay. to $10. Because okay. The thing is, like, $100 a year is what they're going to, is what they're estimating the Tesla's, services.
Premium connectivity.
Yeah, the premium connectivity is $100 a year, allegedly. It hasn't been announced yet. But that makes sense.
I'm annoyed by that. Pay, they should announce that.
we'll get it soon. I think we'll get it sooner than we think. But I feel I would pay that exact same amount. I would pay an Amazon membership to have that type of capabilities for Apple on my Tesla, just because the Apple's CarPlay interface is extremely intuitive and way better than Tesla's. I like Tesla's, but it's still very clunky. And maps, for example, for CarPlay is so smooth. I miss it so much. And other friends of mine have CarPlay now, and they're running the beta of iOS 13. And I'm watching. I'm like, oh, I miss it. It's so cool to do that. But then now this is more of a Tesla problem. They should just like kind of fragment the screens a bit and give you like split screen or quadrants and stuff like that.
Are you saying that Apple should buy Tesla?
No, I'm not saying that. No. You know, there's this rumor. People are fighting me at work, and this is actually a thing that I'm starting to think about and how wrong they are. They are convinced Tesla will be bankrupt in T-minus 3 years, that they will shut Tesla down because they're not going to be profitable and they're going to lose money.
That's what the short shorts said 5 years ago.
They keep saying, or they keep showing, and my argument
is... why do they never factor in that Tesla is so valuable between their Gigafactory superchargers that even if they did go bankrupt, there would be a huge line of companies ready to buy them out at a moment's notice. Apple would be there, Google would be there, Amazon would be there. Everybody would want to buy them out. So I can't imagine an outcome where they just die. I don't see that happening.
Tesla's in charge of their solar panels that can be on all their houses. They will make money off of that because you can lease it. There's not even close to any other supercharging network, and they'll make money off of that. There are more ways to stay afloat. And people are like, yeah, but that's pennies to the dollars when you're looking at thousands of dollars. They're basically saying their base argument is that they're dumping so much money into the vehicles and selling them way cheaper than they should be, and that's why they're going to go bankrupt because the cars are too cheap. And I'm like, you're just jealous because you don't got one then. Because that's not true. Because they would have been that the whole point of the Model S in the first place was to fund the Model 3.
And that their whole purpose, like their whole ideology, is to accelerate our progression to a sustainable future. What? It's not about
and
like
it's working.
Yes, it is.
It's now all these other cars have their own EVs, so Tesla's meeting their mission statement from the beginning. They're like, competition. I welcome the competition, but everyone's like, oh, that means they're bankrupt. This is the Tesla killer. No, it's not. You're not going to market some six-figured vehicle and tell me that's going to kill the Model 3.
No, the Porsche take-in was hilarious. There was There was so many Porsche fanboys that came out in the middle of that. It was hilarious. People's counter arguments were, I was sitting at my computer laughing, reading so many tweets of people that were like, you know, they were comparing how the Model S compared to the Taycan, and they were like, well, Marquez, you're not considering the fact that I have a Porsche that's 20 years old, and I can service it myself, and I can find parts for it. Really, I'm like, you realize that's nothing to do with this car. This is an electric right. vehicle. You're not going to be able to service it yourself as easily. Also, who services their own $185,000 car? Do you buy that thing and then you're like, well, I'll work on it. I don't know. Maybe people do that. But it was essentially the argument of, like, Teslas are stupid. I want to change the oil myself. You know, that's what I was seeing the round argument be. Like, I can fix the transmission. I can fix the oil. I can change the brake pad. All these things that it's like you don't get that it's an electric
Samsung
vehicle.
Samsung would have a say. Why would you want to do that, though?
Right. Why would I want to do that? Or Teslas can't steer. The Porsche will be better because it turns well. And it got a really good score on the Nürburgring.
Nuremberg track.
Nuremberg. There's so many different ways to pronounce it. I don't understand why people use that track as a way to measure the performance of a car, because most people aren't doing that.
It's like Geekbench being a standard for how.
Or that thing with the cameras that Google was using for.
Except it's not, because on Geekbench, Tesla would still be faster in 0 to 60 and top speed. So it's not even a Geekbench thing. It's like a one in. It's not Geekbench scores you're comparing. It's like the Everything Apple Pro app opening tests, where he opens like every app on the phone and starts a timer. And that's more of what a comparison it would be. Is like, well, the Note 10 was faster, but also the Note 10 is $2,000 now instead of $1,100. So imagine that comparison. that's essentially what people are making.
Here's my 2 cents on the Taycan thing. I am not going to buy it.
What?
Oh. I know, shocking. I am also not going to hate anyone who wants the Taycan.
No.
My goal is to have every company have a fully electric amazing car.
Yeah,
the Taycan is an amazing car. I just like Tesla.
Yeah.
So if I really want Porsche to do well, because then that'll signal to Ford and GM and Audi and all the other companies that, hey, we need to get on this electric car thing. It's not it's no longer a fad promoted by a billionaire.
This is the future. It's not a gimmick.
It's exactly. Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. No,
so
my argument is not that
the best.
Yeah, my argument's not the Taycan is a bad car. It's an incredible. It's good looking. It's very fast. It's got all the things people Porsche fan would love. That's all great. I was arguing against people saying it's a Tesla killer. I would say it has nothing. No, it's no threat to Tesla in any way, in fact, because people interested in the Tesla are interested in how much is the car, how far can it go, and, you know, can it drive itself eventually? Those are the things Tesla fans care about. And the things Porsche fans care about have nothing to do with all that, because clearly there was a ton of Porsche fans that thought it was amazing, even though on paper it seemed to fall behind in many, many categories. But they don't care about that kind of thing. They want to talk about the steering or the way it looks or the interior is all personal preference. The exterior is all personal preference. The stupid thing was to assume that this was a threat to Tesla. This is evidence that Tesla is working. That's what it is. It's proof that more and more companies need to take electric cars seriously. But as a competitor, first of all, why were so many people comparing it to the Model S? That's what I couldn't understand. They're so distant in price point. This thing should be compared. This thing is closer in price to a Roadster. Yeah,
because if they did that, it just wouldn't be fair.
Yeah,
the Roadster would be brutal. Obliterated.
The only thing the Taycan would win on is the fact that it's four doors, and that's what I couldn't understand. Like from a car point of view, more coupled. Exactly. Yeah. From a car point of view, I felt like Porsche is kind of taking the similar steps that Tesla did. They kind of start with the Roadster, you know. They kind of start with the sports car. What I don't understand is if they wanted to make an electric car that wasn't going to beat the Model S on paper, it wasn't going to be faster, wasn't going to have a better range, or any of those things, like, then why make it a four-door? You know, if you're going to make a car that's good at handling and steering and going really fast on the racetrack for a long period of time, just make a two-door sports car. You know, why are you simultaneously like, well, it's a nearly $200,000 car with turbo in the name, even though there's no turbo, but also it's practical for everyday use. I'm like, no, don't try to use that argument. Like, either make a,
it does have two cup holders, Drew.
That's pretty impressive.
It has two cup holders.
I actually am going to get this car instead. If you're going to make a sports car, if you're going to make a roadster that's really good at the track and really good at steering and all that, then go all out, you know, go all in. But if you want to make an everyday, consumer-friendly, day-to-day car, then go in on that. Then do try to beat Tesla out on paper. The thing is, people are kind of looking for that because no other EV has been able to really beat out Model 3 in terms of just price for range and performance and features and stuff like that. No, like, have you guys seen the Honda E? It's like a joke.
I have not.
Yes. It's like a joke car.
It's a golf cart.
It looks like Mr. Bean's car from 2077. It goes 126 miles. 126 mile range, and it's $30,000. And I'm like, okay, you guys aren't even... You're not even trying. Like, no one wants to try to actually make a compelling, like, consumer grade. Well, and that was the stupid thing, too, was so many people were treating the Taycan like a Tesla killer. It's like, you know how small a percent of the sales the Model S is for Tesla now? Like, Tesla, with their moves and with their cars, they have to sell to survive. They have to make cars that are compelling that people want to buy. Otherwise, they're not going to make it. They have to do well. Porsche is basically just playing golf in the EV game right now. They're just like, I'll do one of those, I guess. That's cool. They've been around for decades. They are not in a fight or flight situation where they need the Porsche to sell. They need the EVs to sell. Otherwise, they can't sustain themselves. This is their first EV. They have tons of other Porsches that they sell that are going to keep them afloat for a long, long time. Porsche is a very old company, but Tesla, on the other hand, is so new at this, and they're exclusively electric, that they have a much more fight or flight position where they're like, no, we need to have a supercharger network. We need to have these cars priced a certain way, even if we lose money on them, just because we need the adoption rate to be good for people to buy into them. Nothing about what the Taycan is a Tesla competitor or even
also,
killer.
Also, another thing with the Model S is they're not doing a redesign Model S anytime soon. They have no interest in that because they know that's not the focus. The only way they sell Model S's now is they brought back supercharging for life for the vehicles because that's the only way they can move inventory on those things and make it compelling because they know that's not the base of their... of their product line anymore. That's not what they're trying to sell anymore. And eventually, I'm sure, I'm positive, we'll get something that's going to be the Model 3 killer, so to say, within Tesla to make something even cheaper, whether they want to make it, a more affordable, not Y, but, I guess it doesn't even matter, does it? Because, like, the Model 3 is going to break down so small where they're like, okay, we want it to be below $3,000, and so you're compromising on certain features that will come with it, but they still, the point is, every Tesla will have the same battery integrity that comes with it, even if you get the not long range. That your base battery will constantly be getting better as you throughout the years of buying a new, like, next year's Model 3 will be better than this year's Model 3, as it should. I'm not upset or jealous about it. The whole point of it is that we want to make something that's completely, fully independent and sustainable, that is not, you know, going to fall to crap on you 3 years from now. So the whole point is that everyone who's trying to compare something to the Model S is like, you're wasting your time. Like, it's not a discontinued line. It's not a discontinued model. But it's evident that that's not what Tesla is marketing
it's
anymore.
It's nowhere near the priority.
Look at what they promote on their Twitter, on anything else that shows the thing. You'll see Model 3s. You will see a Model X because it's the only SUV so far. We'll see the Model Y eventually. And then once they announce the truck, then we're going to see trucks everywhere. Model S is like, yeah, that's a thing. Just like the Roadster. Yeah, that's a thing. We do have something for you if that's the money you want to spend for it. But that's not, that it's not 80% of their customer base anymore. You know what I mean? back when the Model S was the cheapest thing, when you had, okay, Roadster or Model S. Okay, Model S is the cheapest thing. Mm-hmm. Model S or Model X for family people. Model X. Then the 3 came out, and it's like, okay, now we just got Model X, and then here's the cheaper Model X, the Model Y.
And when it's like 80% or something of their sales now, the
yes.
Model 3.
Yeah,
I think it's over 80% now.
And
when the Model Y comes out, it'll probably shrink the S and X sales to like below 10% of their revenue.
Yeah.
Because
they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're playing the long game. Porsche is just kind of toying around with it, I think. This is their experimental car.
Porsche can afford to lose their EV like anybody else because they already have a very deep-rooted company that's like set. But when you're fighting to survive... Let me tell you, you're hungry. Like, it hits mm-hmm. different. You will do what it takes to survive.
If the Taycan sells horribly, there's no consequences. Porsche will be just fine. It's a publicity move. If anything, they can just be like, hey, look, we can do it too. And then they move on. Until there's, like you said, a Model 3 compelling competitor that can hit kind of the same points that Tesla's going for, because that's the primary reasons people are into Teslas. They want to see electric cars that are, you know, good range, safe, autonomy features, and still look good at the same time. And if someone else entered the game, I don't know who, but if someone else entered that could hit all those same points that the Model 3 does, then I think you will see some very interesting moves by Tesla when they have legitimate competition. I don't think they have any right now.
When competition comes in, Tesla will be so far in the game they can afford to pivot and do something else, because even if you have affordable competitors, beat their charging network. Beat their battery.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I was about to bring that up. A really interesting move from a competitor could be someone who actually decides to work with Tesla on the supercharging network, because Tesla has said that is open. But it mm-hmm. is a proprietary port, because when you do supercharging, the charger connects two Tesla servers to communicate, like, what is this car, what's the battery at, before it actually starts charging. So that's why the supercharger network is not open source. You can't just bring an adapter. It's not a sake of, oh, the pins don't line up. It's bigger than that. There were some people on Twitter arguing with me that you could just bring an adapter to a supercharger station. And I was like, oh my God, you're so out of the loop. People don't understand. Like, well, the Porsche can charge at a supercharger. You just need to buy a $20 adapter. I was like, oh my God, are you serious? People have no idea, like, how different that is. But Tesla's not locking people out of that. They just have to connect with them with the car's development before they launched the car. And they asked them, like, hey, how does support work? How do we make it so that Tesla superchargers can charge our car's battery? If you wanted to make a really, really good competitor, I think that would be a good first move to do. Embrace that network. It's huge.
Keep your friends mm-hmm. close, but your enemies closer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But either way, you're going to be working with them. So Tesla gets something out of it
regardless.
Kind of like
Apple and Samsung.
Yeah. Samsung making iPhone displays. It's kind of a similar situation. So even if there is a big Tesla competitor, it wouldn't be a Tesla killer, because they would still have a leg in the race. So, yeah, it'd be interesting, but we're not there yet. The only Tesla competitor is cheaper gas cars with good range. It's not a debate of which EV should I get for most people. It's usually a debate of, do I get a Tesla?
I got guys asking me, I really like your car. And I'm like, thank you. And then they're like, so when you're not on the battery, how's the gas? And I'm like, no. But they're serious. Like, they really don't.
You make that Twitter GIF reaction. You go, gas.
I do the Ryan Gosling, like.
Right. Yeah, right. That's like with sunglasses. Gasoline. Yeah,
gas. They're like, no gas. They're like, wait, this thing is straight battery? Because they don't know. And I'm like, and they're not older people. These are people like our age. They just don't pay attention to cars like that. Like, there's no gas at all. I was like, no, there's no gas at all. That's the whole point of this. And they're like, oh man, because I was thinking about getting the Chevy Volt, because when the battery runs out, then you're still on gas. I'm like, yeah, no, that's the point. No gas. I don't mm-hmm. want gas. That's too expensive. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I'm far along in my experiment right now about charging my phone or my phone, I'm sorry, charging my car.
Same thing.
The future's exactly weird. The future's weird.
The future's weird.
Charging my car.
Imagine explaining that.
Up my phone.
Yeah.
Imagine explaining that 30, 40 years ago. Like, well, I got to charge the phone, I got to charge the watch, got to charge the car. They're like, what the hell?
Charge my cigarette.
What are you?
What? Like, everything's a charge. What?
So, the future is lithium.
I'm almost done with this billing cycle to see how it affects my electricity with charging at midnight. And right now, just based off of what I've looked when I go onto the website, energy consumption is like running the dryer still, except just based off what I'm seeing, like I'm getting charged pennies as opposed to dollars when I would be plugging it in around this time and charging it. So it's interesting to see, because if my theory is correct about how much money I would be saving when I do super off-peak hours, mm-hmm. then if I'm, because I got the numbers of what I used to pay for at the pump, an average, adjusted for all the times of the year when it goes up and goes down.
Yeah.
I got my average down, and my average is clocking me in about 46 and some pennies for a full tank, for a full 14-gallon tank. Was like $46. That's its average for a year, and that's for 2019. I will do the same kind of numbers, crunching based off of range. I'm doing it off of range of my Jetta that I used to have, and now with the Model 3. And if my numbers look to be right, I think in totality, actually, it'd be easier just to say by the months. I think I'm saving about $28 a month average.
Wow.
Which is more than half for gas. And if that's the case, then I'll be more than ever promoting like electric vehicle 100%. You get the Tesla, get a long range, get the, because for me, now that I don't charge it every single night, the same way I don't go to the pump every single night, I'm getting my behaviors with the vehicle is different, and just the way I baby the acceleration now at the same time I'm just trying to punch it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's
quit punching it.
It's I love punching.
It's just don't punch your Tesla.
Punchable.
It's denting all the bodywork.
I had a cop pull me over. I don't know if I told you guys this story. And, no, he just wanted to look at the car. No.
What?
He just wanted to look at it.
They can do that? That kind of annoys me. Were you speeding?
No. No, he pulled me over. No, no, he didn't put his lights on. He said, hey, do you mind pulling over real quick? And
where were you?
He's smiling. I already knew where this was going because I was at a stoplight. And I was like, hey, do you mind pulling over real quick? I'm like, sure. So I pulled to a Costco.
That's so weird.
Like, and the guy's like, dude, I'm thinking about picking up one of these things. And so I had like a 20-minute conversation with
a Canadian police officer?
No. San Diego.
Hey, can you pull over?
He was Renee Ritchie.
Hey, do you mind pulling over? Hey, do you mind putting on your seatbelt? No, that's fine. Okay, that's cool. That's
if cool. you're on the freeway speeding, the cop like catches up with you. He's like, roll down the window. Hey, can you slow down a little bit? Thank you. That'd be great. That'd be helpful. Thank you.
I was in Canada. Hey, what's that all about?
Did you see that? Nick sent the article of the Model 3 police car that they're starting to indicate. That's so cool.
If I got pulled over by a Model 3 police car, I would not be sad. I would be happy.
I was laughing watching it because
punish me.
That story. That thank you, Randy. That story they were doing about the Model 3 cop car, they were playing it so straight and everything, and they were like, well, it's really quiet, which behind alleys and everything is really helpful, and they're cheaper to maintain than the Dodge Chargers we were using. And I was like, why did no one bring up the fact that when you arrest someone, and you're going to put, you know, you do the whole move where you grab the head and you put them in the back of the car and everything, fart mode, while they're on their way to jail... would just be the most hilarious thing. He's on his way to jail, he sits down, this guy just got arrested, and then it'd be so beautiful. You imagine you're on your way to prison, and then the cop driver just turns on autopilot and turns around and looks at you. You're going to be locked away for a long, long time. And he's like, oh, look at the road, look at the road. And it just keeps going, no problem.
You feel
if I was a cop,
driving a Model 3. I would have so much fun with the all those features and stuff. Oh, man.
That was fun. I think having them driving the Model 3, I was like, take a last look at what you'll be missing out while you're going away. Boom, boom. Go out, autopilot, turn around. It's like, so, let's talk about, and the guy's like, wait. But the thing is, like, I feel like a lot of people now are aware that Tesla is can be full self-driving. My consensus is that they don't really understand what that means, because people that all the time they ask me, it's like, okay, so it you can pull it out of your driveway and have it come pick you up at the grocery store. And I said, I can summon it, yes, and it does like this, and I can bring it to me, but I can't do 90 degree turns. Like that's from a stop, I can't pivot 90 degrees. That's not going to happen. And the guy goes, so you don't have full self-driving. I'm like, and so they think it's an end all be all, and I have to explain the whole, like, listen, we have the tools and the hardware is there, everything's there, the software is there too, and it knows it's limited because it tells me it's limited. It says, hey, I'm going to stop driving. I'm going off of an off ramp, and like, I'm going to stop driving in 500 feet, 300 feet, doom, doom. And then actually it has this cool little jingle, like boop, boop, boop. And then you turn off autopilot, boop, boop, and like it sings a song to you. So if you do the whole thing, it's
boop, boop, I just imagine
you just sing the audio friend file like me from
sitting
Aladdin
in the Tesla, just listening to all the little chimes and beeps, because you're able to recreate them perfectly here. Like I feel like I'm driving a Tesla with you making those noises.
Yeah, that's what it all does. And when it reaches its destination of the off ramp and it goes off. And it has a whole little jingle. So I like to finish the song. I tell Brittany, it's like, wait, shh, shh, let's just let the song play out. And then it goes off, and that's it.
That'd be great.
I can't wait, guys. I can't wait for me not have to do nothing. I just take me to anywhere, really. I don't care. Let's go. Where do you want? Like, I randomize. Let's go there and drive. And then it goes.
Put
it
in Pokemon Go mode, and then it'll...
You want to go to the county dump?
The county. When I took my trip up to Santa Barbara, it instructed me to get off. At first, I could have made that trip in one charge, and that's crazy, because Santa Barbara is north of L.A., and I could have made that trip in one complete route. If I can plug in at a house, I would not have had an issue. But... with that being said, it knew it's getting it close, and it says, no, you should really get off of this exit here that was like 40 minutes away from Santa Barbara still. And, like, there's a supercharging station here, and just charge up. And so it automatically included that into my route, and I thought that was the coolest thing, that because everyone has battery like anxiety, like, I'm not going to make this trip, and they think they're pushing it. And it's like Tesla tells you, way in advance when you first start off, here's where you're going to be at if you maintain about this. Don't drive like an idiot. But if you drive and you drive in autopilot and it's doing its thing, this is where you're roughly going to be at, to include traffic, so you're stop and go, so you're still accelerating the battery a bit, and it knows. And so you get to choose. Okay, do I want the one in Oxnard, which is about 40 minutes away? Do I want the one in LA? Like, you get to choose which one you want it to be then, based off of what you feel comfortable about. There's no way. You can make a cross-country trip just fine and not have anxiety about, I'm not going to make this range. Because it will tell you way in advance where all the stops are, what your battery is estimated to be at, and it's very accurate about where it was going to be at. And it will tell you at that point, it's like, well, which one do you want? I want this one. And then you just go. And now, supercharging stations, they switched out here in San Diego and up in Oxnard too, they don't share anymore. They have their own individual one. There's no more sharing.
Nice.
Oh,
they got rid of that.
That's cool.
I did not know V3? That was a thing. But yeah, no more sharing.
Are those version 3 superchargers?
I think there's only one version 3 right now.
Okay, there is.
I do know that every slot has its own mini individual just plug. It doesn't have two that you plug into the side. You don't share.
Interesting.
I don't know if they're all like that. I can confirm the ones in San Diego's have changed. And the one in Oxnard has changed, but I beyond that, I don't know. But they're not sharing, because I was like, I explained to Brittany, I'm like, listen, we don't want this one because then it's actually going to take longer, and theoretically you'll get charged more for it because they charge you by time. And then as I was looking around, I was like, wait a minute, they're all individual plugs now. So I'm like, oh. But I still went to the far end when I was like, I don't know, just in case. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they upgrade more chargers to version 3. I think that's going to convince a lot more people as to why they're like ultimate, perfectly fine road trip machines. Because I've seen some videos of people charging from the V3 one in Las Vegas, and they get... they were at like 3% charge, and they went to 100 within like 30, 40 minutes. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And once that's everywhere,
that's on like a Model S or a Model 3 is the only one that supports.
Right, for now, it's only on the 3.
Yeah.
But, darn.
So then what's the highest range? Model 3.
310 miles.
Highest range. 310. Okay.
The long range, yeah, 310. Unless you bought one of the ones that had only rear wheel drive.
Yes.
And it's like.
325.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gotten that one. If that was an option, I would have gotten
even with the compromise. Okay. You answered that. Yeah, we're torn between standard range and long range. We haven't decided
yet. Get the long range.
No.
Yeah.
The thing is,
we don't have to wait longer.
No, we don't have to wait longer. We're getting a Model 3 at the same time. It's just a matter of we're looking at our driving habits and how far we drive, and looking at how much more the long range costs versus the standard range. And it's just, it's a lot of money for.
Wait, standard range plus you would still get that has all the interior.
I'm not referring to the off-the-book standard range. Whenever I say standard range, I'm referring to the standard range plus, just because it's easier to say. That one off the record doesn't even exist to me. But we were just looking at our driving habits and how often we go on road trips and stuff, and we were like, we would pay so much more and have this nice range, but how much would we utilize it? And even after the long term, looking at the even factoring in for the range getting worse over time, we were like, it's a lot of money for something we wouldn't take advantage of.
Where are you going to be living in 5 years?
Here. Well, years. We won't. Not this house. Not this house, but somewhere near this house.
Okay. You're just slowly taking over the area. I see you.
We are. we're going all over our budget and everything, so because we're making sure we can still buy this and... We did. If we play our numbers right, we're going to pay this house off in like under 4 years. So,
Bravo.
We're going to
Bravo
buy more places and upgrade and get better places and rent out old places, and so we've got the whole master plan for the next 5-10 years. And the Model 3 is factored in.
God forbid you drop 5,000 more for a bigger
9,000 more. 9,000. Okay. Right. Yeah, it's quite big, but also. The big question was like, what do you care the most about in this car? Is it like, are you going to take a bunch of road trips with this, or do you want it because it drives itself? And that was the big back and forth we were having, and I was like, you know, I could see doing occasional road trips, but definitely not often.
Come down to San Diego and visit. Maybe I still
can do that.
Yeah, I know.
It's a difference of 70 miles.
Hey man, 70 miles, like it. It's actually less if you want to be crazy with the self-driving, because the range is significantly impacted when it goes into full self-driving, because it does not give a flying toot about its battery. It will do what's got to do to maintain speed and also to maintain proper distance. It will go like this and start going back.
Right.
It hurts my battery when I'm in full self-driving, but I do not care. It's worth
it. Well, I'm sure. It would hurt it with the 240 range, too, so I'm sure it equals out. To still being a 70 mile difference, but the main great counter argument in my head was like, I work from home, so it makes a lot of sense to spend all this money on range when we did our map.
Parents?
We were we're gonna fly. That's a long drive, even into Tesla. visiting family far away is. I've done the drive to Spokane before, and that is a rough it's a rough day.
Okay, so then why is long range even on your radar? Then what's there to consider?
That it would be nice. I mean, I understand the premium interior is nice. The the knowing that the battery gets worse over time. Like, obviously, if money wasn't a factor, sure, would you like some more range? Absolutely. I'm not against it. But it was a matter of, like, well, how much do you want it, though? Because the price on it right now is a difference of $9,000, which in the scheme of talking about Tesla doesn't feel like a lot. But when you look at day-to-day expenses and, you know, you're paying off things and other, yeah, other ways absolutely. You can put that money, what's the best utilization? Because ever since we moved out of that big office, that's been our whole goal. It's like, how can we make the most out of every dollar we get? And how do we keep the most we can?
By leaving California.
Ooh. We did the math on that, too. I mean, people say how bad it is, but I've...
The only thing that you have to your advantage right now, as a homeowner, that you'll see, and no one else really can. This is where we have it. Property taxes. We are good with property taxes in California. So, when looking at like a place like say Texas, property taxes, that's where they get you. Like,
that's kind of how they compensate for the lack of income tax.
Yeah,
California income tax. Yeah. But I know what I paid in income tax last year. It's like people. I always hear about how bad California is, but honestly, it wasn't. It's not unbearably bad. There's where you remove taxes in one place, they raise it somewhere else, and I don't know. I don't see myself saving thousands of dollars just by leaving the state, but it also depends on like where we're going to end up, and we found a place that we enjoy that the real estate's luckily not that bad. It's pretty affordable compared to other places in the world. In fact, there's even some properties we looked at that were. I'm not doing town reveals anymore. I've decided to keep that off the record, just because people always try to figure it out in the past. But we did look at some places that were fiber compatible, which was pretty cool. Ooh. So I was like, if we were there, I would be happy for life. If we can get $1,000 down and up,
our needs are a lot different because that's basically. I want to be somewhere where I have. Amazing internet, and Tesla doesn't have to guess the back roads. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't Tesla... And I need good cellular connectivity as well. That's it.
Yeah, that's a big one for me, too. I
So basically, the one block in Chicago. Got it.
You need 5G.
You were going to ask me a question about Tesla.
I believe you can't buy them in Texas.
What?
Teslas.
I find that hard to believe because the Apple headquarters that they have out there, you can buy it out there.
They have Tesla stores in Texas.
There's a bunch of states you can't buy a Tesla in, though. It's weird.
So Colorado used to be one of them, and Colorado, because the dealers unions or dealers associations are very, they act like in a big block. Yeah, and they're all very buddy-buddy. And so they have all, you know, a lot of dealers associations have tried to shut down Teslas because Tesla doesn't use the dealership model. All the stores are company owned. You're buying from the corporate company. You're not buying from Stevens Automotive.
Right. I just BMW, Googled it.
Ford dealership. Yeah.
It says Tesla already operates 13 galleries across the state, but they're prohibited from selling any cars because there aren't actually dealerships. Because of the Texas law, employees of Tesla galleries in Texas are barred from taking orders or even discussing price. They have weird laws about it.
You could make that argument for California because they weren't, I mean, all they had me do here in California was they made me set out a computer. It's like, do it yourself. Like, it was pointless for me to go to the quote unquote dealership. Yeah. They didn't want me to. They're like, you go online. You have to do it. And I feel like that's just their business practice as a whole. So it's kind of irrelevant about discussing prices. They said all they do is like, all right, well let's open up the website together and let's look at it together. There's no hidden formula. There's no backdoor fees, and that's what made me feel very comfortable because I said, well, what is the cost? It's like, well, and we would use Tesla.com as the /Model 3 as the as the reference. Like, oh, okay, so that's the price. Like, we are looking at it together. So I was like, oh man, this completely took away everything I thought about buying a car. And they're like, yeah, that's not how we get paid. We get paid on their hourly.
Not commission. Yeah,
there's a sales commission as a whole, but it counts for the store. For the location, not for the individual.
That's
not how they make money. Their commission is not the, oh, let's get you in the Model S because then I get $1,000 more.
It's not like that. Yeah.
The person who helps you is like, oh, the person who helps you, but there's a team. The whole team gets paid as a team. Because one day I had a female helping me, then the next day I had the manager helping me, and then I just stuck with the manager because he's like, oh, I was on YouTube and da-da-da-da-da. He was part of a YouTube delivery that made the very first known Tesla channel. It was here in San Diego, and he was that manager was in the video, and that's how he got notoriety about people wanting to go to him. And then I was like, oh, do you know Talos of Tech? He goes, yeah, I do. And I'm like, hi, I'm Randy. I'm from the podcast. Nice to meet you. And he's podcast. Okay. So, yeah, so at that point, the guy just wanted to help out with me because then we were talking about just YouTube and everything. So, but the point, my point is that, like, the whole team, it's not like, hey, Michael, don't talk to him. That's my guy. It's more hey, Michael, can you go help him out real quick? He's doing a follow up for this because it's not like a Shark Tank where they're trying to get you. It's very, it's very transparent and. The numbers are the numbers of what you see, so that's why there's no haggling.
Well, and the biggest expenses aside from the purchase price on the website would be the sales tax and the desk and dock fee, right?
Yes.
Those are the two big ones. So
$1,200 was completely ultimately out the door for me. Like $5,000, that was not negotiable. I can't adjust the sales tax for that. I can't adjust the delivery and registration. That's just what it is. So right. I basically paid for my taxes up front when I did that, and then I put a hefty down payment down on it.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, $5,000 in delivery. Like, that's just across the board, and that's calculated if you're going to pay out of loan or if you're going to pay up front, if you're going to put it all on a credit card. I asked, it's like, there's an option for credit card. How many people do this? And then people are like, you know, people with black cards, yeah, they'll put it on their credit card. I'm like, oh, that's a thing. Hey, Nick,
which brings us to our next topic. Yeah. Is sales tax different on the Tesla opposed to regular purchases?
Wait, ask that question again.
You keep saying $5,000 sales tax, but that seems high.
Sales taxes, it's based off of my configuration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you'll pay less if you don't get the long range.
Right, and, right.
I would have paid more if I bought it with full self-driving initially in the equation.
True.
But I did not.
Was there tax collected on the full self-driving purchase?
Yes.
Okay. So it equals out. Either way, it'd be the same amount of tax.
I did not know there was going to be taxes. Taxes weren't that much, but it was enough to be like, okay, you do pay taxes on the full self-driving.
We did do the math on that. We were comparing the two. We were like, do you avoid something by buying it after the fact?
I thought so, too. Like, no. For me, it's just I wanted the points, and it worked only just for that.
That's a good point. Hold on.
Points? Can you use Apple Pay?
Yes. Actually,
you can get 2% back.
My default on the iPad, my iPad when I was setting it up was
I could. Apple Pay. Like, yeah. Oh my god! Hold up.
Yep.
Hold up.
Drew's like,
I'm doing
it's
some
now 2% cheaper.
It's 2%. 2% back. You get the cash.
That'd be $120 cash back. Yep. Dang.
Yep.
That just puts a dent in the taxes. A little bit.
If you could put. If you have the cash, and you also have the credit limit, I would have put more on my card and just paid it off immediately because the idea of getting all that back and then in points, like it was, I wish I could have done more of a down payment at the initial. So you put the $2,500 to hold.
Right.
You could put more. If you want to put more, I chose to kind of just do the minimum. I was not skeptical. I was still trying to decide what my end game was about what I wanted to do with the wrap, with the full self-drive. Like I had That's other true. Things I was just trying to kind of figure out. So I didn't know, and I wanted to save my credit card and points for the wrap. If that was going to be the thing. But now that I kind of like realized that, like I was paying off the car. The taxes and everything else first, I would have done more down payment because I effectively had all this money in the reserve, and you can't pay card at time of pickup. You have to pay by cash your check, loan. Like you, it, the only time you can ever pay card is the initial down payment. And I was trying to offset that as much as possible. Like, how much more can I put towards it? And their trick was like, oh, well, then just put full self-driving because that's all you can do now. And I'm like, okay. So I would have put as much down on my card as possible.
Right.
And so when you're checking out and you're doing the whole checkout process, you could pay Apple Pay. You could do it that way if you want. If you have the credit limit for it, Tesla doesn't care. They'll put a hold of like I think 1,000 or 500. There's a temporary hold that's put in there until at the time of actually picking up, and then they charge the full amount of whatever you put on your card. So
interesting. Points. I'm glad we got this in at the podcast.
No comment.
Thank you, Dick. And I'm so proud that we talked through this whole thing and we like barely even talked about iPhones, which used to be all we could talk about.
So this is basically just everyone, you know, you're all waiting for the Apple event tomorrow. So I'm really glad that we're able to provide you almost an hour of content that just completely distracted you from anything Apple related.
Yeah. Now you're thinking about other things.
Now we're going to get all the tweets. Man, I miss it when there was no Tesla. I liked it better when we talk about iPhones and I like Series 2, Series 1 better.
I don't get those.
Wow, Randy, that was a surprisingly accurate representation. Are you sure you're not the one making those tweets?
Man, every time I get a tweet from it, it's like, could you cut down on the Tesla talk? I was like, Drew put out a main video about the talking about Tesla. Like, no! This is the content.
It's considered whining if you just want us to not talk about something. It's considered helpful if you suggest something for us to talk about. That's far more useful.
That is true.
Because if you don't want to hear us talk about that particular thing, you can just turn it off. It's that easy. But if you want something you would rather have us talk about, because there's not much we can do iPhone-wise. We can't talk 90 minutes about the next iPhone or even the 2020 iPhone.
What about Touch ID coming back?
Who cares? Dead horse, man. All we did all this year was talk about speculations. I promise, ladies and gentlemen, next week we will be talking about what happened at the keynote.
Oh yeah,
there will be very minimal Tesla talk because we won't have time. We have to talk about it. So
unless there's some Tesla announcement.
Which case, who cares what the one more thing was? Yeah. We're talking about the Tesla event.
Pickup truck. Well, that should be soon.
The time where Elon stuttered on stage really means that he's thinking about this, which really means that,
Ooh, what if the one more thing is the acquisition of Tesla?
Boom. Stop it. No.
Air Power's dead. Marquez Camara podcast. Good talking, everybody.
Yes, Marquez. Marquez Kilimanjaro Brownlee. My man.
Oh, man. Alrighty. Well, thank you, guys. This has been a great podcast. I've enjoyed chatting with you. And we will talk to you all again.
It does
again.
Not reciprocate.
Come on,
we will talk to you all.
The only witness I like being is a hostile one.
I know the reference, but they might know. Ron Swanson. But... Yeah. We will talk to you all after the event, and it should be interesting. Bye, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.